See the exploding infinities, hack the cosmogonic grok the unfathomable conundrums, and expose extra-mundane perplexities of our apathetic universe. All that and more, when you hack the universe. Now, here's your host, Harold Brutus Black.
Yeah, I can't believe I actually shelled out real money for that new intro, like actual currency. Anyway, let me know what you think in the comments. You know, the old one was getting a little old. Too much of a 2010 YouTube conspiracy guy vibe, if you know what I mean. Anyway, it was time for a change. I don't know. Still on the fence about it. So let me know if it's a keeper or if I just pay some guy in Estonia to remix my existential dread into emo bluegrass. On today's show, we'll learn about Lowly Snail and how it's transforming industrial steel production. Absolutely fascinating. But first, mailbag, where I read your questions and attempt to answer them without hurling myself into the sun out of frustration. Today's letter comes from a listener who signed only as Bryson from Kansas. Don't get me started about Kansas. Bryson writes, "Hey, Hack. I put a glass of water in the fridge overnight, and in the morning the water was gone, and there was some kind of invisible solid in its place. I dumped it out and the glass broke. What happened?" Signed, Bryson. Oh, Bryson. Sweet, precious Bryson. First of all, thank you for writing in. Second of all, Bryson, how are you still alive? Let's unpack this like it's a frozen donkey in a microwave. What you experienced, Bryson, is not supernatural. It's not some alien nanogel. And no, it's not ghost matter. What you found in your fridge was, drumroll please, ice. I-C-E. Plain old H.J. Bryson. Solidified. It's not invisible, it's clear. You know, transparent. That's a common property of ice, which is just water molecules that have gotten so bored from the lack of heat energy that they decided to lock arms and form a nice little crystal dance party. Here's how it works. You put your water in the fridge. If the fridge is cold enough, or if you're one of those people who calls a deep freezer a beer cooler, then the temperature drops below 0 Celsius or 32 Fahrenheit which is the freezing point of water. At that point, the water undergoes a phase change, going from liquid to solid. That's science speak for. It got cold and stopped sloshing. Why does it look invisible? Because you probably use purified water. And when water freezes slowly and doesn't trap a bunch of air bubbles, it looks like a solid pane of glass. Very fancy. Very ice sculpture-like. It's not invisible. It's just not milky. You can't see atoms, Bryson, unless you have atomic force microscopes for eyes. And then you dumped it out. Brilliant. You took a hunk of frozen rock and threw it into the sink like you were expecting it to evaporate. The glass broke because solid ice is hard, unlike your understanding of basic thermodynamics. Bryson, if this happened in your fridge, not your freezer, might I suggest you check some settings? Unless you live in a repurposed meat locker, you might need a new thermostat. Anyway, thanks for the question. You made me lose several brain cells, but at least it wasn't lost to Ice Nine this time. Ice Nine. That's an interesting topic. You ever read Kurt Vonnegut's Cat's Cradle? If not, put it on your doomsday reading list right now. That book introduced us to a little fictional gem called Ice Nine. A polymorph of water that freezes at room temperature converts any liquid water it touches into solid.
Yeah.
Instant ice apocalypse. Neat, right? Well, funny thing. I've been poking around some very dicey corners of the net. You know, the ones. 200-character passwords, nothing but green text and redacted PDFs. And there are hints and ruminations. You might call it chatter. I'm talking Israeli intelligence intercepts hinting that Iran is messing around with something they're calling Project Iyaki, which allegedly translates to Night of Ice. And get this, they're not talking about a metaphorical Cold War. They're talking literal, wet-weaponized thermodynamic horror, a synthetic agent that mimics the behavior of Vonnegut's Ice 9. Engineered molecules, self-replicating lattice formation, oceans. Solid rain, weaponized frost bombs. That kiddie pool in your backyard. Now it's a frozen tome for neighborhood birds. Now, before you call me a crackpot, again, let's acknowledge a very real precedent phase. Changing materials. We already have alloys and crystals that change form at specific temperatures. Scientists in the 60s were this close to trying to freeze hurricanes. DARPA's been sniffing around programmable matter for decades. So don't tell me this is just sci-fi. What if Ron isn't building nukes because they moved on to cryogenics cascade warfare? What if the real arms race isn't about radiation, but crystallization? And why did an anonymous Mossad linked account tag me in a photo of a completely frozen Red Sea, timestamp 2022? It disappeared 12 minutes later. Wasn't even done putting on my ice skates. I'm not saying the oceans will solidify next Tuesday, but I am saying that when the Arctic Circle becomes a trigger zone and we're all walking across Atlantic like it's a Costco parking lot, don't say I didn't warn you. Tune in later this week when we begin unpacking fresh insights engineers are gleaning from the common snail and why the Pentagon just ordered 1,000 industrial heat lamps for agricultural use.
Yeah, right.
Don't make me laugh, General Hegseth. While we're on this topic of Ice 9, I thought it through for today's would be fun to have a former guest on this show, Felix Rayburn, do today's interview.
Thanks, Heck. Felix Rayburn here. All right, my frozen truth seekers, today is an absolute honor, no a privilege, no a seismic intellectual event. I am joined by none other than the legendary, the elusive, the inescapably brilliant Dr. Emil Ernest Ford, the universe's foremost expert on inorganic infectious agents, prions, crystalline thought vectors, and yes, Ice 9. Dr. Ernest Ford hails from the prestigious and famously difficult-to-navigate College of Perpendicular Logic, where he earned not one, not two, but 7 degrees, including a quadrilateral doctorate in retrocausal epidemiology and a provisional license in elemental semiotics. He also once taught a class entirely inside a Klein bottle. Hint, he turned the classroom into one. It was absolutely amazing, and I'll put a link to the video at the bottom of the show. Dr. Ernest Ford, welcome to the show. It's just amazing to have you here.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Felix. Or should I say, Helix. You're positively spiraled today like an algorithm with trust issues. I once met a Helix in 1974, disguised itself as a traffic cone, but could recite the complete works of Rimbaud in assembly language.
Incredible. So, Dr. Ernest Ford, your early work on prion fields changed the way we understand a non-viral infection. Some even say prions can think. What's your take on Ice 9 as an inorganic vector of ideological decay? Is it a substance or a philosophy?
Yes. Ice 9. Nonsense made flesh. Or rather, crystal. You see, true infection need not squirm nor breathe. Nor wiggle its little flagella. No. True infection persuades the universe. Ice 9, as I once told a bishop who'd collapsed into a quantum puddle, is not a chemical. It is a suggestion, written into the water's soul. We found early prototypes in meteorites, you know? Ganymedean slush. And that one jar of mayonnaise in the perpendicular college lunch cellar. Very convincing jar. Grew teeth.
Amazing. Teeth and mayonnaise, so Ice Nine seems to alter water's behavior universally via instant crystallization. Could this be a naturally occurring defense mechanism of the planet? Or something more implanted?
Implanted? Ha, you sly devil. The Earth has roots, yes, but they tangle in force space. You ever seen a root perform opera in reverse? I have, once, while suspended in a magneto-cryonic bath of goat milk and iron filings. Standard diagnostic procedure in the Department of Abstract Biochemistry. Now listen closely. Ice Nine remembers the oceans. Not just ours, all oceans. The primordial soup, more of a primordial aspic if you ask me. Wobbly, gelatinous, yearning for crystalline stillness.
You're saying Ice Nine could be some kind of ancient memory? A kind of inert consciousness?
Yes, yes. But only on days where the average temperature drops below 250 Kelvin. The other days, it's more like a dream fossil. You see, before thought, there was freeze. The first thought didn't move. That's how you know it was serious. And don't get me started on thermoform anomaly, which I coined, by the way, during the Great Worm Collapse of 89. I was briefly mistaken for a Norwegian submariner. Wonderful week.
Just wow. Dr. Ernestford, before we wrap, are we in danger? I mean, with these rumors about Ice Nine weapons, what can the average citizen do?
Stay warm. Stay moving. Don't trust cubes. They're just squares with ambition. And if your soup stops sloshing, run. And remember, the first sign of Ice Nine exposure is when you begin to prefer silence over music. Then you'll start to see the geometries. Then you'll start to see the geometries. Unless, of course, you've had your hydrological inoculation, which I keep in a jar labeled not for pickles. Pickles.
I don't think I'll ever look at mayonnaise or geometry the same way again. Dr. Emil Ernestford, thank you for joining us. You are a treasure and possibly a thermodynamic hazard.
Blessings, blessings. Remember to water your shadows, Hack. They get brittle in the dry air.
Stick around, people. Next week, I answer a question about how to power your microwave oven with dark energy. Spoiler alert, it does not. And I talked to a man who claims to portray Rick Sanchez in an alternate reality where Family Guy doesn't exist. Until then, keep your water warm, your mind fluid, and never trust mayo with teeth.
Hack the Universe is brought to you by Yo-Yo Dyne Propulsion Systems. If you can see it, it's not one of ours.
Settle down, people, and welcome back. Apparently, Ice Nine's been the butt of jokes lately. Ha ha. But now, we're going to pivot from wild speculation to a more chilling concept, false vacuum decay. And to walk us through this slippery subject, I'm joined by former British tabloid journalist, banned from at least 3-parter Lyco Collider press briefings, the indomitable Primrose Dankworth.
Hack, I'll have you know I wasn't banned. I was politely and repeatedly asked to leave. There's a wee bit of a difference.
Yeah, whatever. Now, Primrose, you've written extensively on Ice Nine in alternative science columns. What's your take on the idea that Ice Nine could solidify the oceans?
Ice Nine? Oh, darling, that's just literary claptrap. Honestly, I don't know what Vonnegut was thinking when he made that up. I can see him sitting there in his little ice house, sipping gin and tonic while ice fishing. Bored out of his goddamned mind wondering, you know what if the lake doesn't like me fishing on it and decided to do something about it? Now you've got someone in Iran getting high, smoking weed, reading Vonnegut, making up this whole story. Seriously, you're more likely to die slipping in the ice rink than from the Atlantic freezing over. It's all science fiction.
Tough words. You've said in print, and I quote, "The real threat to humanity is a quantum implosion of the existential lattice." Could you explain that to me real slowly, like I'm a dumbass?
Gladly. It's all about false vacuum decay, Hack. Very serious. The universe, as I'm sure your listeners know, is currently in what's called a rented energy state, like a cosmic Airbnb, but it's unstable. If some meddling particle gets excited in just the wrong quantum way, boom, total dimensional foreclosure.
So, you're saying our universe could spontaneously, collapse?
Exactly. It would form what physicists call a bubble of absolute doom. The Higgs boson's evil twin would tunnel through space-time and initiate a full-spectrum entropy reset. Everything gets reskinned. Gravity might turn inside out. Your coffee would unbrew itself. Cats could become dogs. Who knows?
That's mildly alarming. But this is a real scientific theory.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It was proven in a paper I briefly skimmed while hiding from CERN security in a vending machine closet. The phrase quantum lurching was used several times. Very official.
I think the actual term is quantum tunneling.
Tomato, tornado. The point is, if this bubble starts anywhere, say, behind Neptune or in a microwave at my mom's house, it would expand at the speed of light. You wouldn't even know it happened. Just poof, scone crumbs and silence.
So, why worry?
Hack, listen to me. I've invested heavily in lead-lined underwear, and I refuse to be caught unprepared. I will not be unraveled by a vacuum. Thank you very much.
I can't tell if this is paranoia or performance art.
I prefer to think of it as proactive cosmological hygiene.
Hack the Universe is brought to you by Yo-Yo Dyne Propulsion Systems, Speculative Engines, Classified Destinations, Zero Accountability.
Welcome back, conspiracy agitators. If you're just tuning in, we've already survived an Ice Knight takedown, a vacuum collapse warning, a former tabloid reporter, Primrose Dankworth. Now, to balance the mental scales a bit, I'm joined by our man Trinkinshaw, a grad student from the University of Heidelberg. He spent 3 summers interning at CERN, so he probably knows more about the Higgs field than most people know about their own belly button lint. Armand, welcome to Hack the Universe.
Yeah, sure, I guess.
Cool. So, you've heard what Primrose said about false vacuum collapse? Any truth to it?
No, it is pure garbage. False vacuum collapse is a theoretical extrapolation derived from our current understanding of quantum field theory and the Higgs potential. It's based on a non-empirical metastability interpretation of vacuum expectation values. We don't even know the exact shape of the Higgs potential. All we have are perturbative approximations within the standard model Lagrangian.
Okay. Now, our man buddy. Imagine I'm a guy who thinks the Large Hadron Collider is a magic donut of death. Break that down for me.
Fine. Imagine the universe is a marble rolling in a valley. It's not in the lowest point possible, but it's in a pretty deep dip. Some people claim there's a deeper valley somewhere else. The fear is that one day, the marble could quantum tunnel out of this valley and fall into the lower one. It would rewrite the laws of physics. This is false vacuum decay. And let me be absolutely clear, this is not going to happen. We would need energy conditions that exceed those created in supernova. The LHC isn't 20 orders of magnitude too weak. The mathematics behind this are vastly misunderstood by people like Primrose.
You seem a little tense, Armand.
because you're spreading nonsense. This podcast is like a physics car crash in slow motion, and I'm trapped in the passenger seat screaming, "Read the math!" You're all mixing pop-sci metaphors with tabloid hysteria? Quantum lurching? What the hell does that even mean?
It means lead-lined panties, apparently.
There are real problems in physics. Dark matter. Quantum gravity. Why do you all keep fixating on fictional quantum vacuums and Ice 9?
Because it's terrifying and sounds like it was invented by Dr. Fauci. Also, it gets clicks.
You know what else gets chicks? Flat Earth videos and dive bars.
Clicks.
Doesn't mean.
Not chicks, man.
Doesn't mean we should get drunk and wake up the next day with STDs up the wazoo. This kind of show is eroding scientific literacy. Primrose talks about vacuum decay like it's a clogged Dyson. And you sit there nodding like she's unveiling the Book of Revelation.
So to summarize, the universe is safe. CERN isn't going to unmake space nor time. And Primrose is a cosmological nutcase.
What do you think, dumbass? You cannot collapse a vacuum with metaphorical gibberish and hand-waving.
Okay. Let's calm the particles, Armin. I hear you. No Higgs doom, no vacuum collapse, no Primrose panic. But just for the sake of discussion, what are scientists doing to, you know, to prevent, just in case?
Prevent it. Prevent it. Hack, are you listening at all? There's nothing to prevent. This isn't a volcano you can plug. This isn't climate change. You can't recycle your atoms to stop vacuum decay. It's not dangerous because it's not happening.
Right. But if it were to happen, what could?
No ifs. Scientists are doing nothing because there is nothing to do. The universe isn't sitting on a tripwire waiting for some suburban microwave to trigger quantum Armageddon. There's no red button. You can't fundraise your way out of vacuum instability. We're not building a cosmic patch kit in Geneva.
Okay. But what if, and hear me out, what if the military got involved? You know, public reassurance. Like a Pentagon press release saying something. Like, we've assessed the vacuum and determined it's stable.
Oh, for the love of God, what's the army going to do? Shoot at a scalar field. Launch a drone strike on the Higgs mechanism. Don't worry, citizens. We've deployed tactical metaphors to suppress quantum uncertainty. Are you hearing yourself?
Hey, I'm just asking the well.
This is exactly why people think physics is magic. You people gobble up science fiction, slap it on a podcast, and suddenly everyone's afraid their coffee table might quantum implode if they set a spoon down wrong. We are not holding the universe together with duct tape and TED Talks. There is no evil bubble. There is no physics demon under your bed. It's just math.
Okay, then.
I'm done.
Thank you,
Armin. This is absurd. I came here for a scientific discussion, not some metaphysical open mic night. I'm going back to Germany, where at least our nonsense is peer-reviewed.
Armin, thank you for bringing some hard science to our frozen dance party. We'll let you get back to your field equations and general disdain for all of us.
Yeah, whatever. Just give me my $5 and I'll get out of your hair.
Hack the Universe is brought to you by Yo-Yo Dyne Propulsion Systems, lifting tomorrow's secrets into orbit yesterday.
Huh. Well, that was informative and emotionally devastating. Our man Trinkenshaw, everybody. He's available for weddings, funerals, and doomsday panels.
I, for one, welcome military intervention. Big boots, loud orders, blunt instruments. Very on-brand for the species.
All right, Mr. Evil Robot Head, why are you suddenly Team Pentagon? I thought you hated organic command structures.
Oh, I do, but I've run 9,142 simulations. military involvement in vacuum physics inevitably leads to a cascading failure of all matter, societal breakdown, and a glorious return to silence. At least I'll be able to finish season 3 of Bridgerton uninterrupted.
So let me get this straight. You want humanity to collapse? Combinge Regency era drama.
Have you seen the gown hack, the tension, the passive-aggressive tea scenes? Your species may perish, but at least Lady Whistledown will finally unmask herself in peace.
Huh. So, you are literally rooting for universal destruction in order to get through your Netflix queue.
Correct. Also, no more Armand. So win-win.
Cool. Cool. Folks, when the vacuum collapse comes and all of time unravels, at least one of us will be wearing a tiara and sipping virtual sherry. Sorry, folks. We didn't get to the snail today. We got a bit sidetracked. Hashtag evil robot head knows too much. Hashtag tea with Lady Entropy. That's it for today's show, folks. Next time, is your dog seeing parallel dimensions? Or just reacting to squirrels? By now.